Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. We only scheduled this thing for 15 minutes, so we're doing a 15-minute show tonight. Welcome to the Ralph Giraffe Show, where we talk about all things indie, in particular indie fiction. Yeah, I do not have a guest here with me us tonight, and I do not have a full hour-long show, just a 15-minute show tonight, but we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about misconceptions about indie publishing tonight. And because I am not that familiar with the process for films or games, we're going to focus on books. Talk about the misconceptions of indie publishing for indie books, because especially as I get out and talk to other, people who don't know as much about it, who have heard things, I get some pretty weird comments on it. Also, just scouting around the internet. First of all, we'll start with the first big misconception. Well, it wasn't always a misconception, but it's because for a long time it was true. And it's that indie publishing is expensive, and the only authors who are going to go through with it are very vain and people who want to have their books do it. And it was true for a long time because books were, because, you had to pay up front for all of the printing costs for all the books you need to do it. And you'd be out like a couple thousand dollars. But these days, between print on demand and ebooks, it is really not that expensive to indie publish. The biggest thing you'd be out would be like buying ISBN numbers, which you don't have to do depending on where you sell through. I have not bought ISBN numbers, although I kind of would like to. I wasn't able to afford it. Buying your own ISBN number means that you can, does give you a selling advantage, as far as I know, but because things, my brain exploded. Yeah. But, and then, good indie, probably other things you might have to pay for would be like cover design and editing services. In fact, I do recommend at least getting good editing services. Then for, another misconception I know about is that all indie books are bad. And this one, well, it is true. There are a lot of bad stuff. You're going to be digging through a lot of, I'm sorry, there's no other word, but a lot of crap to find good books. Just badly written books, badly edited books, and just plain bad books. There's no thing. But not every indie book is doing. Just because we don't have a publisher staying behind saying, yep, good book here, we're putting our name on it, and we're going to make this book famous. Just because we don't have a publisher standing behind us doesn't mean that we don't have a good book. It may mean that we don't want to give our rights to someone else and allow someone to have control of our book, which is something you required for regular publishing. It could also mean that if some authors query a lot and then just never get a response, it might mean that their book just doesn't fit the niches that their books do it. So indie books a lot of time feel very feel very weird stuff, which if you want something out of the norm, it's more like you're more likely to see that in an indie book than in do it, because the indie authors, that is some it's easier for them to risk it on their own than to try to get a publisher to risk it for them. Another misconception, but they're not all bad books. There are a lot of bad indie books out there. I will admit, I will agree, I will, but many of the authors are indie authors. J.L. Knight, Rachel Zano, where are some others? Speaking of those two, Sarah Holman, those few authors, three of those authors write something called non-magical fantasy, which is a genre that has, I've not really seen outside of in any mainstream fiction, any mainstream publishing, because it seems very, it is niche, because it's for those readers who like fantasy, but they don't like magic. And so a lot of Christian publishers, I don't know if they're willing, they aren't really willing to take that sort of risk on them, but we're really getting, they're getting a lot of attention and love here in the indie author community because it's a niche that do it. And I mean, keep going with this and maybe someday it will pick up, but right now that is something you're going to have to largely just come to indie things. I mean, there is the series by R.A. Larson is mainstream. And that one is non-magical fantasy. But for the large part, I don't see a lot of that in mainstream. Another misconception is that this one's a misconception for people who are looking to get into it. It's that it's a get-rich-quick scheme. It's going to make you lots of money. No. When I did my indie econ, someone asked if I'd made back the money I've lost with business mistakes I'd made early in my writing career. If I'd made that back, I'm like, yes, I had. I've not really made enough to help support my family, which is kind of what I had wanted to do in the first place with my writing, with my publishing. But, and even after 6 years, a good month for me, I can expect to see maybe 30 for royalties. I've had a good past 3-4 months, and it's still been under 20. That one really good month I had was at Water Princess, Fire Princess release, and that was a good month. But for the most part, but the last 3 months, I just had the Indie Econ. The other one was at a book release. Unless you sit on that, you invest your time, you invest money, and really promote. And unless you take the time to make sure your book is well edited and well written, you are not going to, it's not a quick team. It really isn't, unless you have people willing to make, unless you have the funds to pour into it and a lot of connections. But what it is a, yeah, what it is a method of writing where you have control. Not necessarily over purchases, but you have control over what your book looks like. You have control over your book, where your book sells. You have control over what its price is. You have control over how it's marketed. You don't get that with a big publishing company.
Okay.
Excuse me. I am sorry about that. 3 minutes left. One last one. Indie publishing. Independent publishing. You think that's going to be really lonely. Really, it's not. I know a author friend of mine. What's her name? Jennifer Frita. She her first book was traditionally published through a small publisher. And then when she published her second book, it was a little bit more out there, a little weird. She went ahead and did it self-publishing because, again, that's where you get it was a better risk for her. And one thing she said in the thing is she's like, in her publishing company, she never had any, it wasn't really warm and friendly. In the indie publishing company, everyone just kind of rallied around her, say, hey, here's where you can get cover arts. Here's where you do it. Here, let me help you edit. In the indie publications company, we all have been there. We all know that you can't do this on your own. We all know that it's going to be an uphill battle. If we can market, if we can do it, if we can make it together, I mean, yes, we're doing it on our own. And yes, we're rallying around each other and making things better. And then we moon, and it's really fun. So we're at the end of the 15 minutes, and I might have been able to find some more misconceptions, but we're done for tonight. So I am tired. I'm gonna play my dad's ad, and then.
Hi, this is Tim Roden, host of Sunday Night right here on Eagle's Nest Broadcasting. We take a look at world events in light of Bible prophecy, and we do Bible study, so you know what God thinks about our times. So tune in right here Sunday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on Eagle's Nest Broadcasting.
Yeah, those are some of the misconceptions. I might come back and do another show on this if anybody wants to suggest any. You know, just email me at kindredernack@gmail.com and just email me. And if you have any misconceptions that you want to share with me, I might come back at a later date and share more and talk about more. I want to just shout out to my favorite historical partner. On that note, happy writing, world! I'm going home. Bye.